You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch. You got to help.
You can't stop it.
I gotta say that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased. Next message.
We're still here. Enjoy it.
It's ODG, Occupy Dave and Giggles.
End of message. Next message.
Seriously, guys, Fort.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out. You look so good right now.
Give me a chant you want to lead.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Really big.
Message erased.
Well, the first days are the hardest days, don't you worry anymore. 'Cause when life looks like easy street, there is danger at your door. Think this through with me, let me know your mind. What I want to know is, are you kind? It's a buck dancer's choice, my friends, better take my advice. You know all the rules by now and the fire from the ice. Will you come with me? Won't you come with me? Oh, oh, what I want to know, will you come with me? Goddamn, will I declare, have you seen the like? Their walls are built of cannonballs, their motto is don't tread on me. Come hear Uncle John's bell praying to the tide. Come with me or go alone, he's come to take his children home. Story the crow told, it's the only one you know. Like the morning sun you come, and like the wind you go. Ain't no time to hate, barely time to wait. Oh, oh, what I want to know, where does the time go? In a silver mine, and I call it Beggar's Tomb. I got me a violin, and I beg you, call the tune. Anybody's choice, I can hear your voice. Oh, oh, what I want to know, how does the song go? Uncle John's band by the riverside. Got some things to talk about here beside the rising tide. Come hear Uncle John's band playing to the tide. Come on along, go alone, he's come to take his children home. Beside the rising tide, come here, Uncle. John's band playing to the tide. Come on along and go alone. He's come to take his children home.
All right. I am Dave. You're listening to Dave and Giggles. Giggles is there, I believe.
I'm here.
Yeah, there he is. There he is. So I was going to play the 45-minute extended version of Uncle John's Band, but I figured that would take the whole show, so I decided not to do it.
Good call.
But I did play that in honor of Father's Day. Today's Father's Day. We have a father on the line, and my dad's name was John, so there you go. That's where the old tie-in comes from.
Oh, Uncle John's Band.
Uncle John's Band. So there it is. I remember when Jerry died, I was in the car with my dad, and my dad was a cynical son of a bitch. And when the news came out over the radio and it was like, Jerry Garcia has died, he was just like, figures.
Figures.
Figures. Yeah, he didn't really care too much. I mean, he liked music, but he really wasn't like big into anything in particular. He did try to go to Woodstock, though. He was like 17, and him and his buddies got in the car and started driving up there, and their car broke down, and they never made it.
That'd have been awesome.
It would have been good.
That'd have been real awesome.
It would have been good, but no. My dad was a bit of a greaser. He was like he was a car fix it type of guy, and he wasn't really much of a hippie. My mom was a bit of a hippie, but you know, she was like into the birds and into like, you know, Beatles type stuff, which is nothing wrong with it, but she wasn't going to go out and follow the dead around.
No. Not like, I mean, some people still do it now. I mean, they're playing Dead and Company's playing in Boulder.
I know.
I think July 3rd.
You should go see him. You should totally go see him. Go see. Is it John Mayer too, right?
Yeah, I'd see John Mayer. I think he's pretty, pretty good guitarist and singer, and the ladies love him.
So, the best thing
I think I'm.
Go ahead.
No, huh. I was just going to say, I think I'm done with, like, I mean, I don't know if, I'm not going to say I'm done with the festival scene, but, like, that whole, like, I spent my time there, you know, not the Dead festivals, but, you know, I've been to a couple music festivals where, you know, everybody's spinning around in a cloud of smoke.
Sure.
You know, I think those
girls wearing skirts or nothing
ideally
at all.
Those times are, you know.
Ideally they're gone.
But maybe I'll revisit it in a few years when things are, you know, tamed down a little
bit. I think you could bring the kids and be like, hey, this is what Dad used to do back in the day.
Yeah, you've been to some of those music festivals. Sure. And you see the kids running around.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the I'll self admit that you know, I'm a bit of a fish head, and I got offered a ticket by John last night to go see him in Hartford. I got to think about it, but I'll probably go. But I'll probably go. But last summer I went to go see a festival, and like the stark difference of a fish festival now comparable to a fish festival in like 98, which is when I used to go back in like when I was like 18, was so different. Was so different. Like going then was like you had all those like hippies or like the not even hippies. They were just like rave kids who were there just to get high. And that was it. And then I went this past summer, and there was every morning they had a huge yoga in the field. They had a farmer's market every morning. There was like tons and tons of stuff for kids to do. It was just like it was like going to like Park Slope and going to the farmer's market. There was not much difference except that there was, you know, noodling music playing in the background the entire time.
Just a little noodling.
Yeah.
See, I think that's what I don't want to get some flack from some fish heads here, but the noodling I think I'm done with it. I'm like, all right, guys, like do your song. You got the hook, jam for a little bit and that's it.
And then get out.
You know, these endless, I think the last, like sort of jam band I went to was, Galactic.
Oof.
And these guys were, they were jamming and you could tell, and they're all doing their thing and they're like bobbing their heads and they're like, yeah, you got it. And they're like, you know, they're like, oh, all right,
you're in the groove.
We're feeling it. You're in the groove.
Yeah.
And then it went on for like 35 minutes.
Yeah, they go on. Like, there's no singing in Galactic either, is there? It's just all instrumental.
No.
Oh, man, that's tough. I don't know if I could do that. But I do have
It was at Red Rocks, which is pretty cool.
Oh, Red Rocks is cool, though. I will give you credit to going to Red Rocks. Red Rocks is awesome. But I do have a John Mayer story. I don't know if I've told it before, but I might have. If I have, I apologize. Call me up. 718-728-9732. That's 718-928-9732. So my John Mayer story. So when I was in, what are you doing over there?
I'm writing that number down just in case I need to
get
it later.
718-928-9732. People say I say it too fast, but what am I going to do? I'm going to say it a lot. So my John Mayer story. So I was in college and I was playing with a bunch of guys who were just like deadbeats. One actually ended up going, one of these dudes ended up going to jail. He was a lawyer and he took some bribes and he went to jail. Regardless, he was like this white elitist Fairfield guy. I loved him. He was a good guy, but he ended up going to jail. So that's the end of that. Anyway, we're playing with these kids. I'm playing with them. They have a basement and I'm living in Connecticut. And, we're just hanging out. We're jamming. We had a whole setup. We had drums and everything. And this kid's on drums, and he's just like, he's all right. He's fine. And, like, we're done playing. And he's like, yeah, you want to go see my brother? He's playing somewhere down the road. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm cool. And then he's like, hey, you want to go see my brother? He's playing down in the city. And I was like, nah, I'm cool. And then, like, a week later or a couple months later, he's like, hey, my brother's playing on Conan tonight. You should tune in to watch. And I was like, who the hell's your brother? And he's like, John Mayer. And I was like, what? It was just really bizarre. So, like, I would always hear these stories. And if you guys are a John Mayer fan, he says his brother's name, Ben. And Ben stayed on my couch for, like, 2 months. All we did was just get drunk, get high, and watch Whose Line Is It Anyway for hours and hours on end.
And is this guy still in jail? Or
That wasn't him. It wasn't him who was in jail. It was his other roommate that he was living with at the time. Yeah, that's a whole other story. I don't know if I should go into it. It was basically he went to, he was a lawyer. And
I mean, careful.
I mean, all this is public. I'm not going to say his name. All this is public, but I'm not going to say his name. He, I lived with him for a while. He was a really good dude. He was a really big advocate for weed. And he worked for, like, whatever those weed things are, and he would advocate that, and he would do all that stuff. And eventually he went to work for, like, for Connecticut, state legislator of Connecticut or something. And what happened, I guess, I don't really know the whole story, but basically what happened was he started working with the roll-your-own-cigarette people and took a bribe of, like, not even that much money, like $10,000 or $20,000, and the FBI had been following him for, like, a good amount of time. And as soon as he took that money, he went to jail. It was a pretty big thing. It was a pretty big thing. Especially, like, do you know anybody who's gone to jail?
I feel like I have, but, like, he didn't say that he went to jail. But, like, when I last saw him, he was, like, you know, a puny kid. And then when I saw him, like, a few years later, he was just, like, all shoulders and all arms. And my buddy was like, dude, your boy's been to jail. And I was like, what? And he, like, wouldn't really tell me, you know? Like, he was very sort of shady about the whole situation.
Jeez.
But homeboy looked like Launchpad McQuack. You know, he was just jacked.
Launchpad McQuack.
He was all up
so
body.
I mean, that's what you do in jail, right? You just sit around and just work out. That's what I would do. I wouldn't even do that. I would just hang out in my room and be like, fuck this, I'm done.
I need to go to jail just to get ripped. You know,
you need to go to jail just to get away from those kids for a while.
Yeah, or just somebody to touch my butt, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Just need
somebody to touch your butt. So
I'm just here for the butt tickling.
I know you are, buddy. I know you are. So let's play this real quick.
Dave and Giggles. Week in review. Week in review.
So week in review. What was your week like? Did you go fly out somewhere and fly back?
Yeah. I've been flying everywhere, man. I think
it's wedding
season. I don't
know
what the tally is on plane tickets. It is. Well, it's, you know, it's feast and famine, man. You got to, like, strike when the iron's hot.
That's true.
So I got a last minute wedding down in Florida. So I flew down Friday and then flew back today. So, like, I did the wedding Saturday and then came back today. So it was, like, you know, quick trip, beautiful wedding, nice, fancy location, got some drone shots.
Oh, how do you like that drone of yours? You like that thing, don't you?
It's awesome. It's, you know, it's. everything is positive. Everybody loves it. Like, the groom was like, oh, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. And I was like, cool. If he's jazzed about it, then, like, he's, you know, he's cool. And so I did these, like, they went out to the beach for sunset. And it was my first wedding using the drone. Like, I did the drone, you know, just to practice for the last few months. And it was my first time that I was like, all right, it's go time. Like, don't, like, chop the bride's face with the blades.
Oh, my God.
You know,
that would be so terrible.
But, you know, I think about it because I'm like, all right, what's the worst that can happen? And then just don't do that.
Don't do that.
So don't do that.
I mean, so I got some... it was your first time. How nervous were you to, like, mess things up royally?
No, I was fine. I had I had my guy there who was, you know, second shooting, and then I had another guy there who was sort of keeping an eye on things as well. And so, like,
just in charge of the drone.
For the drone shots. I mean, I had another guy there who was filming, and so, like, for the times when I brought it out, that's all I was worrying about. Mm. So I mean, everybody at the resort was like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." And the thing is, when you're flying it,
yeah,
people love to come up to you and talk to you about it.
Oh yeah.
And they're like, so what happens if it crashes? It's going to suck, you know? And then, you know, they're asking me how much it is and this and that. And
of course.
You know, and of course I'm being friendly, 'cause, like, you know, it's my business. I'm representing my business, and I'm out there, and, like, I don't want to be like, "Yo, don't talk to me, man. Fly my drone.
Fly my drone, you know? Motherfucker. I'm flying my drone."
But, you know, everything's pretty cool. I have crashed it. I did crash it once.
Oh, man.
Not at this wedding, but at another wedding a month ago. I think I was talking to my buddy, Dan Collins. Remember? So I was talking to Dan Collins.
Sure, we know Dan Collins. We had him on before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm talking to Dan Collins. Haven't seen him in a few years. And I was talking to him as I'm tightening the propellers,
yeah,
which is my first mistake. I should have been like, you know, whenever you go through your checklist, you make sure you're doing your stuff. And so I'm tightening my propellers, and I guess I didn't tighten them hard enough, because I'm flying the drone and I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool. And I'm showing them, like, yeah, you can do left to right. And it's like a video game controller.
Jeez.
And then I walk off and I'm following it. And all of a sudden I see this, like, and it just, like, spins out of control. And, you know, luckily lands in some bushes.
Ugh.
So it was a pretty easy fix. Like, I lost a couple propellers and, it got it back up and running, you know, an hour later and stuff like that. But I sort of had it was a good, like, what do you call it? A sobering experience to be like, okay,
this
don't be talking
this can
to
happen.
Anybody while
yeah,
you're
this can shit happen. Can happen.
Yeah. And, you know, and people give, you know, like, people do stupid shit with it and give the, you know, the drones a bad name.
Sure.
You know, and crash them into buildings, throw them on the White House lawn.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Enrique Iglesias went to try to grab one, you know, a couple years ago, cut his hand up, you know.
What is he doing?
This shit'll cut you, man.
That shit will cut you. I was listening to an interview with Michael Moore the other day, and he is really against them. And he's like, he said, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when one of these drones takes out a plane, and it's going to be massive. It's going to be, you know, huge news, and drones are going to be, like, totally
banned.
In question and banned forever and all that stuff. But yeah,
well, there are fail safes to prevent you from flying near airports. Like, most drones nowadays, like, can't, I mean, helicopters is another story. And, you know, if some dude's flying as, like, you know, a little Cessna, but for the most part, like, you can't fly, it won't operate within 10 miles of an airport.
Huh. So, what do they have, like, a chip in there that says, like, these areas are just no fly zones?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have to connect to GPS.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
A satellite.
What are you going through puberty over there?
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is you have to register with the FAA, and it's like $5 or, you know, $10 or whatever, just to be like, yo, like, this is real deal. Like,
yeah,
you know, don't fly it into somebody's yard. Don't fly it near kids.
Yeah.
You know, just be careful.
Don't fly it at weddings.
Don't fly it at weddings. Don't chop the bride's face. Let's think about this. Oof. How terrible. I mean, it's going to happen sometime. You know,
totally.
Somebody.
I bet you it's happened already. It had to have happened already where someone.
You've got to hear a story.
Yeah, got somebody hit in the face with a drone at a wedding or something. Oh,
well,
God.
Well, the groom wanted me to do it during the ceremony. And I was like, bro, this is not about the drone or me, you know, during your ceremony.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to cause a distraction. You know, when we're filming the ceremony, we're, you know, we're unobtrusive. We're off to the side. We're not making a scene.
Right.
You know, I'm not flying a drone. It would be super cool.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do it.
That would be amazing. If you just swooped down right behind like the officiator while it was happening and then like his weave started to fly off and there it goes. Oh God, that'd be so amazing. You should do it just to get into like, I don't know. What's the modern day, home videos? What's his name on Comedy Central?
Who's that guy?
What is that guy's
name? Ron Bergeron?
No, it's not him. Well, I don't know. It's not him. Whatever.
It's not what it was.
You're listening to Dave and Giggles on Radio Free Brooklyn. Call us 718-928-9732. 718-928-9732. We're going to talk about dads. Call up and give us your best dad story. I want to hear some really bad dad stories. I mean, the one thing go ahead.
No, you don't.
I know.
Somebody's going to call it and be like, yo, my dad, you know, touched me. That's not a good dad.
I don't want to hear that bad dad story. I want to hear
we're here for you.
We are here for you.
Story,
we
you
are.
You call us?
Well, a while ago, we found out that everyone in this room, at least us two, a lot of people we've had on the show, we found out that they're like us, that our dad had passed away. So every time we have someone in the studio who we find out their dad has passed away, we initiate them into the Dead Dads Club. The Dead Dads,
whether they want it or not.
Whether they want it or not.
It's usually sort of an on-air
type of thing. Tosh.0. Yeah. Dylan just texted me, said Tosh.0 was the guy I'm thinking of. You are correct, Dylan. You are correct. Call in, you son of a bitch. Oh, man. Yeah, so what were you saying? That's it. What happened?
I wanted to ask you because
okay, there you are.
Pre-show prep. Hear me?
I'm losing you.
Pre-show. What was one of the most? Kid me.
I'm losing you. Well,
are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you.
Oh, good. Troubleshooting on the air. All right, what were you gonna ask me?
I was gonna say, give me a story when your dad was really, really proud of you. And then when he was really, really pissed at you.
Ugh.
And if you're listening right now, you can call in 718-928-9732 and give it a story. You got to turn your phone off vibrate, bro. Ugh. I told you this pre-show.
Deb is saying
take it off vibrate.
What? Just hey? Just Deb? That's it? Hey? Call in and say something. Call in and say something, Deb. 718-928-9732. So, all right, do you have anything?
I feel like we're doing a pledge drive.
All right.
All right, so the dad... Dad pissed at me story.
Okay.
I was in eighth grade and a buddy of mine was, I think, a sophomore in high school. And so he was the cool kid. You know, he had like the haircut with, you know, the shaved sides in the back and then like the, you know, the ponytail on the top. You remember that hairstyle?
Yeah,
like,
I remember that hairstyle.
I'd circa 96. I think.
No,
yeah,
that was like, 94, 95.
94, yeah.
It was early
95. So, you know, anyway, eighth grade, which was a terribly awkward time for me and basically anybody at that age. But, you know, he was like, hey, man, we're having this and he could drive, which is cool.
Yeah, go ahead. So
are you with me?
I'm with you.
All right. So he could drive. So he was like, yo, we're having this pep rally at my high school. And so I was like, yeah, I'll go. And so, we drove down there and my dad didn't know where I was. I think my mom was out of town or she was working or something. And so we drove down there and I think he showed up at the house and I wasn't there. And it was like, you know, this kid had just gotten his license like a week or month ago or something like that. And, you know, he was like a fast driver.
Oh,
he had like a sporty car. And my dad was so pissed because like, I don't think he really liked him from the start.
No.
You know, my dad was one of those guys like who could tell like, this guy's a jerk.
This guy's
like,
an asshole.
I don't really like him. Like he's a bad influence, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And my dad... anyways, I go to the pep rally. It was a good time. You know, there was this girl. I was like, oh, this is high school. This is beautiful. You know,
beautiful girl.
There's just chicks everywhere. You know, beautiful girls. I get back. I'm on cloud nine. And my dad calls. And he's at least the maddest he's ever gotten at me. And he goes, and I could see like from like now being a parent, I could see why he was mad. Because
sure.
I basically like got in this kid's car and went down there and really didn't tell anybody. And he was like, oh, God, what did he say? He was like, "You're in deep shit, motherfucker." And it was,
that's amazing.
And like he was, you could just tell he was so pissed, you know?
Yeah, there's nothing worse of a feeling than having your parents mad at you. There's in your gut, you're like, oh, fucked. I am so fucking fucked. This is bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so Dylan's here. You want me to play a song or you want to cover it for 2 seconds while I go get him?
What do you mean, cover it?
I just got to go to the door and unlock it so he can let him in.
So let him in.
All right, you just cover
Why you got to like... It's fine.
All right, just you got it. You got it.
I got it. Am I gonna talk? Am I gonna talk into myself here?
Yes.
All right. Right.
Why aren't you talking?
Who am I supposed to talk to? I don't know if anybody's listening.
I can't go away for 30 seconds. Jesus. He's just dead air. Dead air giggles.
It was nice. It was like a nice pause. It was a nice, like, it was a respite.
Yeah. I would say that. So Dylan's joining us in studio.
There he is.
That's dedication right there.
It is dedication.
Yeah, I don't even know why I showed up at this
I don't know why you did either.
Yeah, a little late to the game.
So where'd you come from? The Stone Pony?
So we're wrapping up right now, right?
We're wrapping up.
No, I was in Stony Point.
Oh, Stony Point.
Yeah.
I thought you just wrote Stony Pony, which sounds better than Stone.
No, I wish Pony. I went there now. Yeah. Maybe we can open a Stone Pony in Stony Point.
Stony Pony. Yeah. All right, so you weren't that far. You're just a little upstate.
Yeah, you know, like an hour or so north.
All right, so we're telling dad stories. So dad. I want to tell Giggles that Dylan is also part of the Dead Dads Club.
Sure.
No, nice.
Yeah.
Part of it. So everybody here, Dead Dads Club.
Got the Dead Dads representing.
All right, so we were just talking about when your dad was really upset with you.
Yeah.
You have anything?
Like on a daily basis?
I'll give you one. Yeah, my dad was not the like reprimander of my house. My mom
was mine. Yeah.
So my dad never really gave a shit. And he'd always be the one who tried to get me out of getting in trouble like every time. But I would say that I was probably more upset with him by the things that he did, where it would be like, all right, I'm disappointed in you. I remember there were so many times where he was supposed to pick me up. Like if I was at like school or something and I would wait there and like everybody would be like, hey, you know, like you need a ride home? It's like, no, man, my dad's coming.
He's on the way.
I swear he's on the way. And
but this is when he was still alive, right?
This is when he was dead. So still alive.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would just wait for him for hours and hours and hours. And then he'd finally show up and he'd be like, what? Why are you upset?
I got here, didn't I? Here. I'm here. You're still getting a free ride. God damn it.
Freaking kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I had my mom pull that one on me. You're the last kid there. Everyone else has been picked up. But that one teacher has to kind of like lag behind and keep an eye on you. And she wants to go home.
Ugh.
And she's angrier than you. You know, you're just
she's pissed.
Yeah.
So pissed. All right, Giggles, do you have anything where your dad was proud of you?
My dad was always my dad was the guy like that was always there for like everything that I did, as far as like baseball games, football games, you know, like the plays I did, he was like there for all of them, you know, like he drove over for every one of them, which was one of those things, like, you know, looking back, I was like, you know what, you know with everything that sort of went on and like his, you know, every dad's got their issues, but like he was always there, you know, for those times when you're like, oh yeah, my dad's in the audience, you know, I was going to give a little extra, you know? So, and he always told me he was proud of me.
Which, sure.
Like now I
he
try
told
to like,
you, but he didn't really,
he told
it.
Me.
He's a good liar.
He's a good liar. Yeah. So I got this story. So I was in Florida last night. Last night. And then I was done with the wedding. I got home around like midnight. And I had a beer and I was like, you know, I'm not ready to go to bed yet. So I was like, let me, take a bike ride. And the thing I love about going to Florida where I live, you know, is just, it's super quiet. It's flat. and you can just take it's McGregor Boulevard. You can ride your bike down it, and you'll never see any cars. Suns out, guns out. So about like a, you know, eight miles there and 8 miles back. And so I like rode my bike down McGregor Boulevard.
Sounds so tiring.
And I stopped. What are you talking about?
Go ahead.
Are you with me?
I'm with you. I said that sounds tiring. Go ahead.
It was the end of the night, and I wanted to, you know, like do something for me, you know?
Well,
I wanted to like, so I took a bike ride. I stopped by my old house, the house that like was the first house that I lived in when I moved to Florida, you know? Mm. And so like a flood of memories came back when I like rode by, you know, and this is like 1 o'clock in the morning, nobody's out. And I'm just like, I rode by it. And then I rode by, you know, some old friends' houses. And it's weird when you like, you drive by something, you sort of, you know, you get like a memory, you're like, oh, that's where I did this, blah, 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 blah. But when you like, I feel like when you're bike riding or you're walking, like more memories come in because you're going slower and you're sort of like,
you got time to think.
You got time to think and you're kind of working out and you're like, you're taking it all in, you know, you're going a little bit slower.
Sure.
And so I like rode my bike downtown and then I saw like the office where my dad used to work. You know, it was like one of those things. It was cool for me to go to, you know, to his office. It was always like a cool thing, you know, to like, oh, I'm going to my dad's work and like, he's going to take me there. And it was like one of those things, like he was always, you know, he's like, yeah, come in and he introduced me to everybody. And, you know, I just like, it was a cool feeling. And then I sat there and I was like, kind of reminiscent a little bit. And like, I kind of got a little bit like, you know, like a little emotional. And I was like, ah, it's freaking like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, I don't need to be sitting here in front of my dad's office, like weeping.
You know? That's so rough, like, man.
All right. I was like, you know, FTS, let's get back, you know.
Wow. So you're sitting there on your like, probably like what, little Huffy or something?
Banana seat bike.
It was my mom's bike. It was a lady's bike.
It had like the basket
Tassels.
In front. And you're riding this girl's bike and you're just crying to yourself. Mm-hmm.
No, I wasn't crying. I didn't cry, but I did like I did feel like a sense of emotion because like I was transported back to that time when like I was, you know, 8 and 12 or whatever, and he like took me into his office and he like showed me around and like introduced me to everybody and made me feel special. You know, like
sure,
it's so easy. You know, it's being a parent now. I know, like it's so easy to crush a kid. You can crush a kid's soul in like a second. You know,
it's easy.
You can ruin a kid. You know?
It's all I want to do.
Best part of parenting.
Just
it's crushing souls.
Kids. So anyways, it was cool. Like, you know,
you had to be there.
had to be there. I was there. You know,
I wish you have those moments again? You're in the middle of it. Just give me a call. I'll weep with you. I'll be your shoulder to cry on.
No, you won't.
No, I won't. I'll make fun of you.
Crush you.
All right, so. I want people to call in 718-928-9732, 718-928-9732. Tell us your dad's story. So I will say one of my dad's stories is, you know, like when you're a kid and your dad does something and you're around all your friends and you're like really proud of him?
Yeah.
Well, I had one of those where I wasn't so proud of him. Well, it started out where I was proud of him and then ended up.
Was he taking shots?
Well, like, it wasn't taking shots. My dad was not a drinker. He was not a drinker. He did a lot of other things, but he was not a drinker. But the one thing, he used to work for the railroad, right? So the railroad has this thing where if there's trouble ahead, the conductor on the train in front will walk back a couple miles and put this little like dynamite on the track so that when the train behind it runs it over, it'll explode and you'll be able to hear it.
Nice.
Right? So
I like that.
My dad used to have that. So that brings him home.
I can see where this is going.
See where this is going. So it started out very innocently. He had a whole bunch of it and like he had these like steel tip boots on. So he would put like it on the ground and he would kick it and it would explode. And it was fun for all the kids. And everything was hopping good and things were going really well. And then all of a sudden he put it under his foot. And then he hit the heel of it with his other foot. And when that it took like a little bit more than he regularly would. And when he hit it, the explosion sent him like 4 feet in the air.
And your dad's Superman.
He was like Superman. He's flying in the air and he comes down and lands on his head. And
yikes.
All my like friends, we were like 12 years old, we're like, oh shit.
Hard to live that one down. Yeah.
And I'm like, he's cool, guys. He's cool. Yeah. It's fine. It's all good.
Yeah.
He was like, oh shit. Oh, shit. I got to go smoke some weed. And then that was the end of that.
Well, that's fun. At least he would play with explosives.
True. My dad was also really big into fireworks. Yeah. We would go get fireworks. And I remember one summer, 4th of July, we had a ton and ton of like M80s. Like every kid had those. Everyone wanted those. So he got really into them for a while. And he would take these M80s and he would be like, I got a good idea. And he'd disappear for a couple minutes and he'd come back out. And he'd have all of my mom's pots and pans. And we were like, what is he going to do with this? So he would light them and then put the pot on top of it. So as it was lighting, it would explode and shoot the pot 30, 40, 50 feet in the air. It was fun. And then my mom came home. She's like, what the fuck happened?
The dishes are done.
Yeah. That was always, my dad was like another kid. He was just like, fun to hang out with and another
kid. A dangerous kid. Those stories remind me of my dad. He was into explosives. Like he liked
explosives are fun.
And he worked in construction, so he was able to procure half sticks of dynamite, sticks, which were pretty impressive. Like you could, one time he just lit one and hucked it, like straight out the back door. Like I think it went in the neighbor's yard. I'm not really sure where it landed. But it was so loud.
And then he shut the door and run inside.
Yeah. And then everyone in the whole house would be screaming and crying.
It was a good time.
Mass pandemonium. Yeah.
Fantastic time.
Yeah.
Oh, dads are such deadbeats.
They are. I mean, that was the only time he ever showed up. Like, I got some half sticks of dynamite. I was like, Dad. I mean, this is.
this doesn't seem like a good idea, Dad. I got a couple of tips. I didn't make these, but I got a couple tips from. The president-to-be Donald Trump.
Okay. So, on parenting?
On parenting. So here's one.
In celebration of Father's Day this year, here is some wholesome father-daughter advice from our presumptive Republican nominee for President of the United States, Donald Trump. Tip number one. Be a dutiful wife. As Donald says, when I come home and dinner's not ready, I go through the roof.
Maybe the most sane thing he's said so far on the campaign trail.
I mean, he wants his dinner ready when he gets home. Yeah. Man, I love that man. He's going to make for some good comedy, I guess, right? That's what's going to happen?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happening right now, right?
It is happening right now.
Who are you talking about, Trump?
Trump.
Oh, God, you froze for a second there, and then you came back with something like...
Oh, maybe you didn't hear it. I played a clip. Maybe it wasn't going out. You should have been able to hear
it. No, I heard it a little bit, but I heard something, make your dinner when you get home or something like that.
Yeah, when he doesn't come get his dinner made for when he comes home, he goes through the roof.
Yeah.
Ugh. Have you seen those things that are like sexist ads from the 50s and 60s?
Sure.
50s and 60s? Those are great, you know? Yeah. I mean, they're not great, but they're great to look back on and be like, oh, geez.
You're gonna just set one up and then not tell us like anything about any of them?
It's all the same thing, you know. It's the same thing. It's the the ads for like the cookware, and it's like, oh, wife's place is in the kitchen, you know, and make him dinner when he gets home, or he'll basically beat you.
You got to do that though. You got to make dinner for your man. Mm. You get it.
Oh, yeah.
You're married, man.
Yeah.
So what'd you do for Father's Day? What did the kids do? Did they do anything?
What did we do? They pick me up from the airport.
That's
nice. And then, Leo was having an episode. You know, he's three. We call him the three-nager.
The three-nager.
He's just he's an emotional wreck at times. You know, he's off the charts. You know, he's like a roll. He'll be super happy, and then he's like he's screaming, just for no reason.
Ugh, that sounds terrible.
Gotta get him that kiddie Prozac, right?
Yeah, just calm him down with it.
Yeah. No, it was good. Other than that, we got home, and then, I took them for a little bit, and then, actually, I don't know why I'm telling you all this, but so Mrs. Giggles and the little one took a nap, and then so I had, a couple hours with Leo, which was nice, because it was just, me and him just kind of hanging, quality time. He wasn't screaming, which was nice. So, it was nice. It was a good Father's Day.
All right. That's very nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was your...
It was a Father's Day of sorts because it was with my girlfriend's father.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Well, we went on a sailboat.
Oh. Yeah. That sounds great.
You'd think, right? Sounds like a leisurely type of activity, but it's really not. It feels like you're on like a World War II era U-boat when you're with this guy. Yeah, I mean, there's orders being barked left and right. It's like dive, dive, dive. You know, it's insane. It really is. It's quite a harrowing.
Is it his sailboat though?
Yeah, it's his. He owns a couple of sailboats.
Is this something you'll inherit?
I don't unless I go down with that ship, which I imagine will happen eventually. I don't want to see that much more. Many times. Yeah, it usually gets to. There's just a lot of like yelling and just it's crazy.
Is he an angry man? Or?
No, you know he's calm, but he just has his. He's very. He's just very stubborn, and he knows best. You know,
right? Totally.
Which is what he probably does, but you know, sometimes it's just hard to.
What's going on over there? What's going on? Why are you cursing?
Sorry, no. I'll get back to it. I was reading the news. Sometimes I read the local news. Sorry, Dylan. I wasn't trying to sailboat thunder here.
No, it's fine. I mean, I
do a lot of reading the headlines, and I read this.
All the headlines.
And then, only headlines.
Headlines. It says Aurora police seek two after security guard gunned down in robbery at dispensary. These two sons of bitches supposedly. Shot. I mean, I won't say supposedly. It's in the news. They shot and killed a security guard, robbed a marijuana dispensary. What the hell, man?
They need their weed.
I guess
though.
there's some money to be made there. There's a lot of cash reserves in those spots. Because it's an all cash business, right?
They probably stole like $5,000-$10,000 worth of weed though, right?
I don't think they stole cash.
Oh, they stole cash, and they're all cash, right? You can't buy weed with card or anything, right?
Yeah,
It's all cash.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of cash in there.
So I've been told.
Yeah, I think it's pretty. Yeah. Like,
and this is like 10 minutes away from my house.
Oh man,
this is crazy.
Don't go for a walk.
This is the reason
why we need to like instill federal law into this so that this doesn't happen, where people can use credit cards and all that sort of thing.
Legitimize it
so that there's not tons and tons of cash in these places waiting to get robbed.
Yeah. There's a real roundabout way that they have to do their finances. So
they gotta. It's bad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this show's going downhill, but I want to talk about humans and nature.
All right, let's hear it. Humans and nature.
There's been a lot of talk. We talked about the gorilla. I don't think we talked about the alligator in Florida. I was on a plane and I wanted to talk to this guy because we were getting along. We were chatting. And I wanted to be like, man, you hear about that gator in Florida? But it wasn't really like. You know, and me having kids, you know, I'm always worried about stuff happening to them. And, you know, but I feel like people don't realize that animals will kill you. We are not, we're not immune to nature. Like, nature's a bitch. The universe is huge, doesn't care about you. And like, you know, I feel terrible about this family in Florida, but like, it's a gator. You're in Florida.
Right.
You got to watch out for shit like that.
Yeah. They're like deer down there.
They are like deer down there. Well, the interesting thing is that in Colorado the other day, some kid got attacked by a mountain lion.
Oh, I saw that. The mom fought it off.
And the mom fought it off.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I really find disturbing is that our initial go-to when this stuff happens is let's go find it or one like it and kill it.
Yeah, there was just another story about a jogger came across a bear in some nature preserve and it came between the bear and its cub. So I think the mother bear may have like got aggressive towards the jogger.
That's going to happen.
And she ran and found the authorities and they came and euthanized the bear.
And the cubs too?
No, that's what we were saying. Like, where's the cub? That's basically a double death sentence there.
That is a double death sentence.
But yeah, I mean, what's the point there?
I mean, I've talked to people and understand the reasoning of like where these bears are just, they're coming, they're getting our food and they're adapting to our life. And like, that's not good for the animal in itself because then it becomes, American. It becomes American.
Fat, lazy mess.
And they have to kill it because it's not going to be able to defend for itself.
It's killing itself at that point, though.
Ugh, yeah. So terrible. Yeah. But I mean, our initial thing is just let's go kill this animal or one like it.
What does that do?
That's my favorite. Yeah. One like it. The alligator, they killed five of them before they. I don't even know if they figured out which one it was. They just killed five.
It might have been an animatronic one. Did they ever think of that?
I mean, it is by Disney
it's
World.
Disney.
Man.
Yeah.
Mm. You know?
It's a mess. Yeah, I saw it. A couple times ago, I was in Florida for a wedding or whatever, and I was driving and I had some time to kill. So I like took, you know, and went across Alligator Alley, and I had
and you went
know,
and cried
a couple hours, and so, I cried.
In between
I was
crying
like, this
sessions.
Is so emotional.
Yeah,
but you know, I had time to actually stop and, you know, like explore a little bit. So I was like, oh, let me pull off on this like little like, you know, scenic area and take a walk. And so I'm like walking, and first of all, I see all this trash everywhere, and I'm like, come on, somebody's just dumped all their trash, you know, at this like roadside stop, and I was like, freaking humans. And so I kept walking, and then I saw this gate that was like a two-door gate. So basically, you know, make sure the animals can't get in or out.
Was it a gator
so
gate?
Like, yeah, it was like a hunter's gate.
All right.
Basically, like you're walking into this preserve, and I'm by myself, and I was like, you know what? This probably isn't the smartest idea. It looked a little like a horror movie, but I was like, you know, I'm by, you know, whatever. It's an adventure, and I want to explore. So I'm walking through. I go through this double gate. And I'm walking down this path, and I take a few pictures, and I'm like, yeah, this is cool. And suddenly I get the feeling, I was like, you know what? I'm not in my element. I am not – I feel like I'm not safe. I was like, I've heard stories of wild boar in Florida, you know, charging people. I was like, I don't have any guns or knives or anything. And so I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's a good time. You know, you get that gut, that fight or flight syndrome, whatever they call it.
Sure.
And I was like, let me turn around because this is not good. Like no. I'm not – I am out of my element.
Maybe it's so time you get a gun.
Yeah.
That's what you need an AR-15 in that at that moment.
just blast.
I turn around and I look in the water and I see a freaking gator.
And
this is, you know, maybe I want to say 25 to, you know, 30 feet away from me. Not, you know, not terribly far, but also like not terribly close. And I'm like, you know what? He's just sitting there and his eyes were out of the water. And I was like, I don't think he's going to attack me. But, like, I don't want to stay here and find out because Homeboy can probably move faster
than
I can.
They can run.
They can run.
And if he bites me and kills me, I'm all alone. I'm here with my camera, you know. And
Just turn it to video real quick so you at least you get that
capture
thing going
moments.
Now. Capture the moment.
Please capture those moments.
And then it turns into a horror movie because, you know, it's the found footage of this guy getting by an alligator.
And then you'll have what's his name?
So I ripped out of there. And I got the fear in me, and I peaced out. And I said, "I'm done.
Done.
No more. I don't need to go exploring by myself in the swamps.
Not with two kids. Not with two kids.
No.
I remember I went to Florida like 5 years ago, and we stayed at like one of those resorts, and there was a they had the pond there, and there was a whole bunch of alligators in there.
Yeah.
They weren't that big, but they were just hanging.
That's like part of the draw.
It is part of the draw.
Like, let's go down there, hun. I mean, maybe a gator will eat one of our kids. Maybe it won't.
Kid, but I mean, you know, it's part of the problem. You just deal with it. You just live with it.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. You're a Floridian. You know these things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I accidentally hooked a gator once when I was fishing because, you know, you're throwing little bait out there and this – I think it was like a 3 or 4 foot gator, real small guy in this little pond area, but you know, grabbed the lure and you know, I ended up like cutting the line because you know, I'm not reeling in a gator.
That would be pretty good.
What was I gonna
put it up on
like
the wall?
10,
what kind of bait does it take to catch a gator?
I think gator will eat anything. They're like bottom feeders, right?
Chicken.
They
chicken,
love.
Yeah.
Babies.
Probably some babies, some tourist babies. Yeah. Come on. That's expensive bait.
Jeez. I don't know if I can afford that. The Everglades have a python problem.
Well, that's because people released them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. But they're huge, and they have no natural predators, so they're taking. I mean, they're finding these huge pythons in the Everglades, and they're just eating all the you know the deer and the whatever's rodents are down there.
They'll just eat anything.
That are all a party. Yeah.
Those things are vicious.
Yeah. Big.
Oof.
I don't like snakes. You know me.
I don't like
snakes at all.
There is a story of you killing a snake, and it was probably just like a garter snake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a black, you know, yard snake.
It was a yard snake, and you took a shovel to it.
I thought it was Satan.
You were so frightened of snakes.
It was in the Garden of Eden.
So did you hear about Anton Yelchin? He's the actor who was in
Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
He died today.
Gator related or...
Yeah, he died.
Oh.
He was killed by his car.
Oh, jeez.
So I guess what happened was he was pinned up against his car in the wall.
Ooh.
And his apparently they found out that his car was in neutral. So he got out of the car, probably went to get his mail, and then it rolled right into him and just crushed him.
Oh, shit.
That's a rough way to go.
Yeah. Did someone get the license plate number?
Yeah, good one. I'm going to play tip number two from Donald.
Tip number two. Only date attractive people. As Donald says, it doesn't matter what they write, as long as you've got a beautiful piece of...
It's a good one. I mean, he's not wrong.
No.
So last week we were talking about... Casey Kasem a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I was doing some, like, trying to find some, like, sound bites of, like, dads being assholes, right?
Sure.
And I came across this of Casey Kasem. And it's not him being an asshole to, like, his kids or anything, but I found it pretty funny. So I recorded it, and then we're going
to
play it.
Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, man. I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week.
Didn't see it.
Because last goddamn time, I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
He's pissed.
Wow, he's having a Bill O'Reilly moment there. I like it.
He did have a Bill O'Reilly moment. It was funny because, like, we talked about him last week, and we were like, is he dead? Is he not dead?
Definitely dead.
And then I came across that, and I was like, whoa, I've never heard him, like, be anyone but just the Casey Kasem we knew.
Did anyone ever eulogize him in the fashion that he used to eulogize, like how he was doing,
like,
for
he was
Snuggles?
Doing for Snuggles.
Yeah, did anyone ever give him one of those send-offs?
I'm sure they did. Yeah. We'll look into it.
We gotta dig that up.
Yeah, for next week. So for I'll do this. This is what I'm gonna do. I think I'm gonna do this. So that's an old bit we used to do. But for the dude of the day, I thought this one would be fitting if we did Alec Baldwin's
there
call
you go.
to his daughter.
You made me feel like shit, and you made me feel like a fool over and over and over again. And this crap you pull on me with this goddamn phone situation that you would never dream of doing to your mother, and you do it to me. Constantly and over again. I am going to get on a plane and I'm going to come out there for the day and I'm going to straighten your ass out when I see you. Do you understand me? I'm going to really make sure you get it. Then I'm going to get on a plane, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to come home. So you better be ready Friday, the 20th, to meet with me. So I'm going to let you know just how I feel about what a rude little pig you really are. You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Ooh.
Okay.
I mean, all these things make me not want to be a dad.
I don't know, man.
It's rough.
He's just an angry guy.
He is an angry guy.
Yeah.
Oof. It's rough.
That is. That
is that everything you say. I mean, example A is recorded, can be, you know,
used against you,
duplicated, sent to the news outlets.
Especially if you're in that high celebrity status.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing, he's just upset with his daughter.
Granted, he
called her a couple of things he shouldn't have. But
Thoughtless pig.
But yeah. Kim Basinger's the one. Basinger?
Something like that.
She's the one who records it and just sends it out.
Was she the one who distributed it?
She's the one. She recorded it off her voicemail.
That's sweet revenge. None of this stuff sticks with him, though. He still has...
He's like Donald Trump.
He still has he has a semi-positive, like, image in the
He
in
does.
The, in the public.
30 Rock really saved
30
him,
Rock. He was great on 30 Rock. He's terrific on that. But, yeah, he's kind of a savage guy.
He is a bit of a savage.
He's a wild animal. I wouldn't want to get caught, near him.
None of the Baldwins.
Crazy,
those Long Island dudes, I don't want to mess with them.
Yeah, they're pretty wild.
All right, we're winding down. Last dad thoughts. Who's got one?
Are you gonna do Dwight? Did you get any Dwight?
I didn't do any Dwight.
Oh,
I We can play his song. Do you want to hear his song?
Why not?
I put a little intro together with Dwight and the song and then a little couple other things.
Oh, yeah.
I am your father. Only me on this whole earth to straighten you out. And I hope to kill Archer. Kill Archer.
Oh, that's the Ruby Blood, right?
No, that's from This Is Boy's Life.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I want her worrying about your ass.
It's a great dad's right here.
It's great dads, great dads. I tried to find a bunch of great dads. It wasn't an easy thing, but you know, great dads in movies. Oh, dads. So there you go. Any lasting thoughts? I'm going to start the end of the show here.
Jeez.
Yeah, I'll say something real quick. So,
in closing,
it's kind of cool being a dad because, you know, Leo, we were talking about the stars and space and stuff like that, and you know, we were talking about the sun because I had to put sunblock on him because, you know, it's Colorado, we're a mile higher, you got to put sunblock on.
Sure.
You know, kids are gonna burn, and so the cool thing I think about being a dad or just anybody in a sort of say authority figure, but just a kid, you know, people look up to you.
Sure.
I could have told this kid anything. I'm not a science teacher. I'm not giving a TED talk or whatever. But I told him, I was like, well, the sun is a star, and it's, you know, it's you know, it's a millions of miles away, but it's got the power to burn you. And so, you know, and I'm here, I'm like rattling off like a, you know, a kindergarten science project.
Sure.
Right now, talking to this kid,
trying to figure
but
it
for
out.
Him,
yeah.
He trying to figure it out, but he understands it. And you know he soaks it in. It doesn't have to be completely accurate.
No, you gotta be close enough. Yeah. I mean, the amount of lies you probably tell that kid a day is probably huge.
There's no fact checking parents.
There's no fact checking.
That's what's great about it.
That's the thing. Like my parents lied to me so much just because they didn't know.
Exactly.
Especially my dad. Like it was terrible. He lied so much.
Piece it together best he can, and then set off a firework to distract you when he didn't know something.
Exactly. Yeah. I will say, though, which would be news today. When I was a kid, he used to drive trains, and he used to let me drive them.
You've told me about this.
Told you.
Yeah. This train is going express.
My
son doesn't know how to use the brakes.
Right. And he'd be like, it's easy. Just press this up. That was a lie. So, you know.
Next time you have a train delay.
Just think
of
that.
More than likely, what is happening.
Oh, good times. Good show, guys.
Good show.
Feels good. It feels good to get back in there.
It does.
Yeah.
All right.
Dylan, thanks for coming on, buddy.
Hey,
thanks for making it.
Like 20 minutes left.
Well, you
did good.
Well, fashionably late.
Fashionably late.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to send this off. You're going to be in New York next week, right?
Yeah. Friday. We're hanging.
Right.
6:30 a.m.
You always do that to me. Maybe I'll try to get off Friday. We'll hang out. You want to take off Friday?
Sure.
We'll all hang out?
Let's take off Friday.
All right. Friday, we'll all take off.
Perfect.
All right. So that's it. Dave and Giggles. Dylan. Peace.